Our reading today is taken from Matthew 5, beginning at verse 33, and this records some teachings of Jesus. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, "Do not break your oath, but keep the oaths you have made to the Lord." But I tell you, do not swear at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes, and your no, no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Well, we're in the middle of the party political season, aren't we? Labour and Conservatives have had their say. I think there are more to come. And we hear on these occasions promises made for all sorts of reasons, that we would have a healthier economy, a better run NHS, a more ordered border control, more help for schools or for the vulnerable, whatever it is. Each party is saying, vote for us. Unlike other parties, you'll be in safe hands with us. We know what we're doing. It's as though each party is desperate for us to believe in them. But I'll leave it for you to decide what becomes of those promises. It's as though within human nature, there's a kind of dance going on. We have a deep longing to trust one another. And so into that space enters a kind of another desire, that's to want to be, or at least appear, trustworthy. And then for all sorts of complex reasons, we also seem to have an inability to uphold those very promises we have made. My husband Nigel was in had a choir concert on Saturday evening, and it was to celebrate 30 years of being in this particular male voice choir. And they had new jackets made specially for the occasion, a very fetching apple green colour. And the website of the jacket maker promised bespoke jackets made to measure. And yet when they actually arrived and were on the choristers, we couldn't help but notice that they weren't really very well fitted at all. And it felt somehow disappointing that we had been led to believe about this made to measure, and we had imagined how they were going to look, but the reality wasn't quite what we'd hoped for. It seemed that the reality didn't quite portray what we had hoped for from the website and the promises made there. Anyway, today we continue in our series in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus offers case studies that elaborate on the Beatitudes, a way of living that reflects the character and the kingdom of God. And here he addresses how we speak and relate to one another in trustworthy ways, referring to specific scenarios that his listeners would be familiar with. So to give a bit of context, oath making is where a promise is made between two people. But to give the promise a bit more weight, to show that the promise giver really can be trusted, the name of God was invoked. The promise giver would definitely keep their word then. It would be absolutely unbreakable. So for an example, in Genesis 20 and 21, Abraham gets in a little bit of a pickle with Abimelech. He had told some fibs. And so to make a fresh start, Abimelech made Abraham swear an oath. I'm just going to turn to my Bible and read that. So Abimelech says to Abraham, "God is with you in everything you do, Now swear to me here before God that you will not deal falsely with me, or my children, or my descendants. Show to me and the country where you are living as an alien the same kindness that I have shown to you." And Abraham said, "I swear it." We still do that in courts of law, where a witness swears by Almighty God that they will speak the whole truth, nothing but the truth. Over time, though, in the 1,000+ years from the giving of the law to the time of Jesus, oath making had evolved so that rather than using God's name, they would use something that was weighty but not God's actual name. So something God adjacent, as it were, for example, the altar or gold on the altar. Jesus names some of the common oaths in our reading by heaven or earth or footstool or Jerusalem. But it seems in keeping with humanity's broken nature and a tendency to impose our will, our view on others. Oath-making had evolved into a rather despicable game. Oaths were made to impress the seriousness and piety of the giver, but also became an instrument of manipulation to override the other, as a kind of system of binding and non-binding oaths were used. So, for example, one might say, "I know I promised only to use your wine press for 3 days, but because I only made the oath by the altar and not the gift on the altar, I'm going to keep using it until I've finished harvesting all my grapes, and then you can have it back." Maybe you remember making promises to your friends in the playground at school, but crossing your fingers behind your back. So it's kind of, "I know I promised to repay you the 10p I borrowed to buy sweets, but I had crossed my fingers, so my promise doesn't actually count." It was kind of a bit like that. So the wisdom behind Jesus' words is this: don't use God like a kind of top trumps card in order to impose your will on others. Don't use God like a top trump's card so your voice is heard over others. Don't use God's name or word to manipulate your neighbours. Keep your attitude humble. You can't even change the colour of your hair. Well, you can't change the natural colour anyway. How we need this wisdom today as this dance continues. Not only in our society, but even in our own hearts. It's common in our Christian world to hear the words, "I believe God spoke to me about ABC or something," or "God's word says XYZ, so clearly I'm right in my beliefs. These are my red lines." And the thing is, at St. Francis, we really do believe that God and his ways are revealed in Scripture, that he spoke to his people back then, and he really does speak to his people today. You know, we had a fantastic conversation in the Alpha Group last Tuesday as we grappled with the question, how do we hear God? What does that actually sound like? How do we know it's God and not just a thought we had? Attempts to impose our will and our way on others by using the God top trump card didn't just happen 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, but is part of the condition of the human heart throughout the ages. This is something that all those who seek to live life with God need to discern within themselves and within those around them. We need to wrestle with the pendulum swing of, when do we actually represent God truly? Or when do we think we represent God but get it wrong? Did I hear God, or am I earnestly mistaken? Sarah's Mullally's appointment as Archbishop of Canterbury has delighted some believers and horrified others. Some are delighted to have a woman Archbishop of Canterbury. Others are horrified at her theology, particularly within the sexuality debate. And some wonder what all the fuss is about, of course. And in all truthfulness, all of those views are expressed within St. Francis. Probably all of us believe we are speaking of God's heart, but it is extremely tempting to get our voice heard by shouting a little louder. Don't you see what's written in the scripture? This is nothing new within the church, sad though it is. We read of the spat that Paul and Barnabas had in Acts 15. We glean of the divisions confronting the New Testament churches in the letters. It's evident through church history. We live it today. Friends, imagine how our churches, our communities, our relationships would be transformed if instead of trying to impose our will and our views on others by using the God card, we were able to humbly and simply say, "This is where I'm at. This is what I have understood from God so far. This is why I am where I am." How transformational it would be if we were able to honour the dignity of each other made in the image of God, to be able to engage in open, honest, vulnerable conversations rather than trying to silence one another. This is a tall order. It's a huge vision as Jesus calls us, his disciples, to live differently, and so very differently, to the kingdom of this world, to the manipulative promises of society and political parties. But the good news is that he is before us and behind us, willing us on with his spirit indwelling in us. Friends, we may fail as generations have failed before us, but let us never give up looking to Jesus, craving his wisdom and his presence, seeking to live the kingdom way, seeking to love the Lord our God and our neighbour, seeking to live trustworthy lives, discerning the Jesus way, walking humbly before our God, knowing the frailty of our hearts. God, in your mercy, would you help us? Amen.